Well, stand up for a moment. You've been sitting a long time. I couldn't urge you to dance with me, glory to God. I pointed to him and he turned his head. Who, me? Oh, my Lord. Praise God. Father, we're so grateful. You've allowed us to participate with the very divine nature according to your word. You've called us sons and daughters by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which is incorruptible according to 1 Peter. You saved us, healed us, prospered us, set us on the pathway to glory. It is our desire today, more than anything else, that you be lifted up. Nothing can be said or done to make you bigger except in our sight. For you are the great God, the great I am. Thank you that Yeshua has made his mark in the earth and caused men and women to bow to the name of Jesus. Yahweh is our salvation. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've seen fit to ordain such a time as this with our family, that the word of God could be rallied around. We'd embed those principles and live them out from this day forth. For that, we give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise and the wonderful and matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our salvation. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, we now seal this deal, as it were, because it is your opportunity to bless your people through a mere vessel. Hallelujah and amen. Praise God. Have your seats if you will. Amen. Now, I know we got a little extended there, but boy, I tell you what, this has been such a wonderful time, and the things that we've been, the Lord's given us the last few weeks, as it were, and it continues to grow. So if you weren't here last night, it will help us to at least bring you up to date. We are now in a teaching that I've deemed, basically, it's on prayer, and prayer is the believer's call to order. Let's say it together. Prayer. The believer's call to order. Well, what is prayer? Prayer is simply communication with God. And so as long as you're talking to God, you don't talk to anybody else in prayer. You know, you can talk to God and all of a sudden get distracted. I've got a relative of mine. She'd be talking to you on the phone. And she's talking and you're talking, and next thing you know, she's having a conversation with somebody else. Anybody like that, you know? I'm thinking, what'd you say about that? No, I wasn't talking to you. Well, I'm on the phone. Talk to me. Don't split your conversation, but I think I'm hitting the note here. Don't split your conversation with God and the devil. Are you listening to me? I'll leave that alone. Let's just steep in that for a minute, amen? All right, so obviously then we come communicating with God in our prayer time. The word prokosimaio, the Greek word for prayer, particularly in the New Testament, means this: face-to-face contact. It's individualized. Your prayer is not a collective prayer. We can all begin to pray individually in here, collectively, but still individual to God. With that being said, then, I have ultimate confidence that God always hears my prayer. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? The Lord Jesus said when he went to pray for Lazarus. They were all concerned because he was there 4 days. You know, that means he stayed an extra day to make sure that he was decaying. They did it on purpose. 2 days he found out about it. He waited a couple of extra days. On the third day, decomposition begins to happen. He's got to reconstitute the Lazarus. This is what he says, though. The Father always hears my prayers. Somebody shout him in here. You should have the same confidence that Yeshua had concerning prayer. Why? Scriptures tell us, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are always over the righteous, and his ears are always open to their prayers. Every prayer that you pray that's genuinely scriptural, he hears it. Well, if he hears it, 1 John 5:14 says this. This is the confidence we have in him. If that's anything according to his word, he hears us. If we know that he hears, we know we have the petition we desired of him. So prayer is personal. Prayer never goes unheard. Well, it said this. Prayer is never a thought that you have to pray. There's always an unction from the Holy Spirit in the spirit of man. I think I'm going to pray right now. Well, guess what? If you thought that up, you can go through with it. But sometimes the Lord calls that vain repetition. Didn't you say amen? I'll stay here. So, if prayers are prescribed, if prayers are written out, if you're told to pray this or pray that, accept the command of Scripture, which we call an imperative in Scripture. Let's take one or two. Matthew 9, 38, thereabouts, the Lord says, pray the Lord of the harvest. It's a command. It's an imperative. You don't have to think about that. You know, well, because let's see, if I can do that, Lord, if you really want me to. No, it's pray the Lord of the harvest. James 5 and 16, and said, pray you one for another, that you may be healed. So if we got these direct commands from God, then the unctions that we're sensing we have to need to pray has already been prompted by the will of God. It's the will of God to pray this, you pray it. Amen. Outside of that, praying, praying written prayers. As a matter of fact, I see this quite a bit on Facebook. Pray this prayer. I don't. I just don't. Who are you? Are you Mr. or Mrs. Holy Spirit? I'm not prompted to pray that prayer. It might be wonderful. Pray this right now. No, I'm not doing that. Why? I don't have any unction to pray it. Can you say amen here? So if you got an unction, now here's the thing. You can bypass or suppress the unction. So effective prayer takes two things. Obedience to the unction and submission to the will. Everybody said obedience to the unction and submission to the will. What's the will? The Word of God. So if it's going to come from the Holy Spirit, it's going to be in line with the Word of God. Not sometimes, all times. Every time it's going to be based on the Word of God. Amen? Maybe you don't even know that part of the Word of God, but if you sense the unction by the Holy Spirit, you go look it up. It's going to be the Word of God. Can you see that? Well, you've been there, haven't you? You've prayed things you didn't know. All of a sudden, you had to go back and find out, was that the Lord or not? Or was it the Word of God? And if it was affected by the Spirit of God, it was the Word of God. Amen. But if you're diligent to do that, you know it. Religion has a way of bypassing any unction from the Holy Ghost. It prescribes your prayer life. Do this, do that, do this, do this. Repeating this, repeating that, repeating this. And it often points you to pray to somebody other than the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, what did we say? We said that effective prayer, New Testament prayer, is praying to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. John 16, 22 and 23. So anything outside of that, we said it this way. Really, the prayer petition is not directly to Jesus. The prayer petition, now we worship the Lord Jesus. We worship the Holy Spirit. But praying as a petition is always through that name to the Father. And He will grant it you. Somebody shout amen here. All right, all that being said, we got over here in this area and kind of jumped because the Spirit of God dealt with us through Pastor to go into the area of praise. Praise is the highest form of prayer. Praise is simply directing your affection toward God for what He's already done for you. Well, we also talked about gratitude. What's gratitude? It's an inward, involuntary feeling of the soul. You're thankful on the inside of something that just happened. Things that may have happened that were, you recall them from yesteryear and say, oh my, I'm so thankful for that. Well, that's wonderful. That's gratitude. But gratitude is the factory to produce praise. Gratitude is inward, it's silent, and it's passive. But when it erupts through your vocal cords, somebody shout amen, comes out of your mouth, like my wife said, hits the atmosphere, then it becomes praise. It converts to praise because praise is vocal, praise is dynamic, and praise is active. And when you know why people don't praise a lot? They don't want anybody to hear them. Don't tell me, you know, I'm a silent praiser. Liar, liar, your pants on fire. Amen? There ain't no silent praiser. There's a silent gratitude. Amen? But until you let that thing come out and vocalize, you basically are saying, you know, I'll just keep this within. Well, I said last night, sinners can have gratitude. This is an example that wasn't the best. But I wore it on them, I'll put it on you. Amen? The drug dealer can have gratitude for his shipment arriving in time. He's grateful. I heard John Gotti was the most wonderful grandfather and father. John Gotti. I mean, his grandchildren adored him. He adored his grandchildren. Sweet, tell the guy, go kill so-and-so, but hey, coochie, coochie, coochie. He's thankful that he's got a family. But that doesn't transfer to him having humanity, you know, of concern and compassion for humanity. He killed all kinds of folk. So gratitude can be held by anybody. But oh, once you become thankful and praise comes off of your lips, his praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. I got permission from Pastor a moment ago. You had no idea what it was. We have dealt with a macro view of the kingdom of God, universal, domestic. There's only 4 states we haven't visited, and of those 6 states we haven't ministered in, I think, of all the states in 34 years. Large congregations, small congregations, we ministered to 10, 2,000, 3,000, doesn't matter. Same word to the same people, same Holy Ghost. Amen? And so, I said last night how things get viral in the kingdom of God. How things take off because you say something. And for 200 years, we had this thing called the saving of the soul equated to the new birth. Everybody assumed soul salvation had to do with being born again. And if you look in the scripture, how could they ever come up with that? Except some seminarian, amen, produced it out of his seminary, and it became vocalized, and the next thing you know, it just spread throughout the kingdom of God. That happens all the time. So, such is the case I'm about to address right now, and I'm doing it genteelly because we love you, and it's something that has to be addressed. We've done it in seminars and meetings and luncheons and ministers' luncheons. We should address this, but I think it's well to do it here. I got permission from Pastor. We will not do anything that's injurious to you. But I told you to go to Hebrews 13 and 15 last night, didn't I? Let's do that right now. Hebrews 13 and 15. Therefore, let us by him offer up the sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of our lips. Everybody say fruit of our lips. Continually giving praise in his name, or to his name. Well then, we've all been subjugated to this. We've all done this. And contemporarily, we do it to a certain degree. And what we've done is we've supplanted. Remember the name Jacob is a supplanter. We supplanted something that's more convenient than actually what the Bible prescribes concerning praise. Well, first of all, praise, in its ultimate definition, we teach on this praise teams. We teach praise teams over the years, off and on, concerning this. In the ultimate definition of praise, it says an extended hand of choirs, extended choir of hands, an extended choir of hands. Everywhere you see praise in the Old Testament, foundationally, I won't say everywhere, but primarily it's an extended choir of worshipers with extended hands. That's praise. Have you noticed when we are exhorted, you may not have, or exhorted to give God a hand clap of praise, we extend our hands, Evelyn and I. You've not noticed that. You missed that. Because hand clap of praise is not scriptural. That's why I got your permission. It's the fruit of our lips, continually giving him praise. The clapping of hands is always a sign of victory or an inanimate object called, and that's prose, that the trees of the field clap their hands. Trees don't have hands. It's prose. It's poetic. The other time it's used for triumph, for victory, every time. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? The army has conquered something. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people. They're triumphant in victory. Fruit of our lips, continually giving him praise. There's never an opportunity where you're going to see hand clapping being praised. Why is that prevalent? Because, well, John Hagee does it. Jack Hayford, they do it. Doesn't matter who does it. The only thing that matters is a scriptural. You love the brother?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, we just want to be right before his, in his sight. Can you say amen here? And I didn't worry about this saying it, but last night I said, Lord, give me an opportunity to genteelly at least address it. I was going to address it privately with you, but it just helps. It just helps because I want to just be right. Just be right. And I'm learning constantly things I have to adjust to. Are you listening to me? So when I understand that, then I incorporate that. Guess what? I'm the better for it. There was absolutely no room in this place for carnal hearts this morning.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen here. We were all together given unto him.
Yes, yes.
Well, let's not celebrate it on the end with hand clapping as praise. We've already done the praise. The fruit of our lips has already been. Oh, somebody say amen to this.
Amen.
We've given him praise. And we continue to give him praise.
Yeah.
Applause is for man. Praise is for God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody shout amen here. How should we pray? We should pray the word of God. The promises of God are yes, and in him, amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and 20. If it's a promise of God, you got it. If you pray the promises, why? Because we said the Father has the promises locked in his heart to be released by your effectual fervent prayer. That is the key to it all. I got to know what the will is because the will contains the promises of God. I can't pray anything that's not promised to me. But when it's promised to me, I'm on solid ground. And I got solid ground, I'm going to the Lord on his terms, not mine. When should we pray? Luke 18 and 1, men ought always to pray and not faint. Not sometimes, not every now and then. Well, what do you mean always praying? Ephesians 6 and 18 says praying always with all prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4 and 2, continue in prayer. She's talking about those in the Holy Spirit that were waiting in that upper room. 580 people, 500 people went to that room. 380 had something else to do. Are you listening to me? 120 people were obedient to the unction and submitted to the will.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says they continued in prayer.
Yes.
Glory to God. In expectation. Guess what? We're no different than they. You elevate them. No, we're no different than they. We have the very same responsibility to the scripture. Well, continuing in prayer, praying without ceasing, praying always, means never omit the occasion to pray when prompted. Back to the unction. Now, what should we pray? We should pray the will of God. John 5 and 14, 1 John 5, we just quoted that. Well then, for whom should we pray? Well, we shouldn't pray for our family. We want to pray for our four and sometimes no more. Amen. Glory to God. We got to get us covered first, right? No. If the prompting doesn't lead you that way, that's not the way you start out.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, the end of my prayer most is my family. I'm covering my family on the end. I got everything else to be prompted. I know I got to do that, you see. But let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2 for a minute here. Because, man, so many places to go, Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 2 here. I think we've neglected this. I'm saying we mean the body of Christ, not sinners. Sinners don't know this. Amen. And we'll see something here that we just came through a very vital period in our country that we may or may not have obeyed this particular area of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for some men. For how many? Oh, for all men. Keep reading. For kings and for all, everybody say all, that are in authority. It's amazing to me on this Facebook how many people speak discouragingly of people in authority. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about Holy Ghost folk. I'm thinking, you didn't just say that, did you? I know you. I know your ministry. I know your life. Good word teacher. A good parishioner. How can you say that? Some of which were my relatives. I had to get on my nephew. I said, I dare you. I dare you. Oh, well, come on. And I dare you. Well, my son picked up the case and he's whipping him in the line, so I'll leave him alone now. How can you go there? I can't pray for that person. Wait a minute. Let's see. Is your governor, your mayor, chief of police, are they in authority?
Yes.
It doesn't say pray for those in authority with whom you agree.
Right.
Got nothing to do with it. You got an imperative, a demand from God to pray for all them that are in authority.
Yes.
The two past administrations, I prayed for Barack Hussein Obama because I'm commanded to. Didn't vote for him, didn't like his policies, but I prayed for him. Are you listening to me? Because I got a command from God to do so. I didn't begrudge, oh, I got to pray for this guy. I prayed for him because, keep on reading. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Yes. Amen.
He's not done. We're still at the whipping post, amen? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
Yes. Hallelujah.
When are you going to be selective and elective as to whom you have to pray for? When the Bible tells us and commands us.
Yes.
But more than that, go to 1 Peter, if you will, chapter number 2. I got a couple of places. I'm way off. This is coming on the third hour normally, but we don't have a third hour, man. We've got to be out by 3. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse number 17. 1 Peter 2 and 17. Honor all men. Stop right there. I just can't. Honor all men. Look at the context. Love the brotherhood. That should not have to be told you to do. Amen. Fear God. Honor the king. I know you got to get past your soul to do that. Everybody is not in line with the biblical principle that we're to honor the king or our president, whomever it is. Are you listening to me? George, is H or W, just went on to be with the Lord yesterday. The first man, obviously. And I was all on board with his first term. The second term, I just didn't agree with. I said, why'd you do this? You had the Senate and the Congress, and the House, did nothing with it. Here comes his son. Well, glory to God, his first 4 years, man, same thing. Pow, pow, great, great. I'm in agreement with everything. Second, what happened? What happened? Why'd you give up on it? I didn't stop praying after the first session.
Amen.
Oh, you listen to me. Yes. I kept praying because I got a command from God to honor the king.
Yes. Yes.
Honor those in authority. Pray for them. But on the heels of that comes the next administration. I have some justifiable reasons, I think, to not pray. No, I don't. I have no justifiable reason. I had to pray. And I continue to pray. I'll continue to pray for all in authority. Can you say amen? Well, go to Jude 9. Go to Jude 9. Oh, hallelujah. Jude, let's go beyond that even. Whew, man, I'll get over here. Jude and verse number 9. I was here the last time. Nicole had to help me turn pages. Remember that? I'm a big boy now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse number 9. Yet Michael the archangel, start at verse number 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Who are you to down people in authority? Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Get your mouth off of the leaders of this country. Amen. And then go and pray.
Yes.
About your family. Well, you just violated scripture already. Got to get a Pentecostal wave on that one. Amen. All right, so here he says here, but said the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things that corrupt themselves. Well, I don't want to corrupt myself. I don't want to speak against authorities when God tells me not to and pray for them. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2 again. We went to 1 Peter a while ago. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. And we'll end this. I didn't even notice we were going to come in here this way, but I'm glad we did. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Remember those other ones, despise dominion. Mm-hmm. Despise governments. Stop right there. If you're constantly railing against the government, you're not praying for the government. You want change, you pray change through. Can you say amen? I just walked up here just this morning, and I showed Evelyn, I said, there's that Plaquemine Parish sheriff car out there. On the back of it says, God we trust. She said, well, isn't that on all of them? No. No. I've never seen it on any car before. Well, guess what? Somebody might come along and say, why they got that kind of mess on that car? But all of a sudden, the house gets broken into. What the God we trust car just passed by here just a month ago? Amen. Did you pray for... Listen. We're on the road all the time. I can't tell you the number of times that we've been stopped by police officers in the middle of the night. In Dallas and a couple of other places. And one time, it's in the middle of the night. She's driving. Just pulls us over. And I know, I mean, I've been in law enforcement. I know he had no reason to pull us over. None whatsoever. I can demand my rights, and I can talk crazy, and I can just, you know, get in all kinds of, and have three more cars there in a minute. Or I could say, what do we do? Well, I just need to stop you in some unsafe lane change. I don't think she did. Can I search the car? So you don't have to, you don't need to. Which if you want to, you go ahead. There's nothing in my car, you see. I know that. But I want to get on my way. It's winter time. He tells her to get out of the car. She doesn't have a coat on. And I said, well, she's not going to. So I get out. He said, you stay in the car. I said, I'm going to give her a jacket. I got the jacket, put the jacket on her. He opens the trunk. He goes through everything as best he could, wasting his own time. Amen. And finally, she gives her a license back in the car. I said, I want to pray for you. Romans 13 tells me you are a sentry of God. You've been put in place for evildoers and lawbreakers, of which I'm not one. But I want to pray that you go home to your family tonight, safe and sound. Are you listening to me? That man just started weeping. Why? Because I've got to pray. He's an authority. Somebody shout amen. Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy folk that can do things with a badge. I know a lot of them. I was in league with some of them. They were crazy. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, the best of the best are out there. And they're there for a particular reason. The sword is for the lawbreaker. We were again in Texas. Two police pull us over. I'm driving. One goes to one side to the car, and I'll come to the other side. In about 15 minutes, they were both crying and weeping. We were ministering salvation to them. You know, didn't get excited because I really wasn't. They just wanted to stop us, you see. But the minute they did, you have an opportunity now to be godly. You pray for those. And we began to pray. Oh, you listen to me this morning. Prayer is the essence of Christian success in every venue, not just a church. So who do we pray for? We pray for all those in authority. How do we pray? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When do we pray? We're praying always with all prayer, in all manner of prayer. Well, then, how do I enact this, engage this? You don't need any help, let me put it that way. You need no help from another human being to engage. Guess what? There's a lover of your soul. Somebody shout amen. That loves you more than you could even approach loving him. And you have to show whatever gratitude you have in the way of vocalizing your praise. Somebody shout amen. Well, then, if that's the case, prayer as praise, Evan was not touching on that. I touched upon the last night a little bit. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. In a 16th verse, he says this. He says, I'll pray my understanding, I'll pray in the spirit. He goes, thou givest thanks well when thou blessest with the spirit. Well, blessing with the spirit is speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. The highest form of prayer is praying in the Holy Spirit. There's no higher form than that. Well, then, there's a reluctancy, I think, in the kingdom of God, particularly in individuals who are just coming into this thing called Pentecost. But I'll tell you right now, you get after it hard and heavy as soon as you can, as often as you can, and get break through that baby stage. Can you say amen? And your life all of a sudden will take on a tonality of being a prayer. Have you noticed that the word prayer and prayer are the same? Why? Because you are, in essence, the prayer of the prayer is one going up to God. You have literally put in your heart by the pumping of the Holy Spirit the prayer he wants to hear. Well, what about praise as prayer melodically in songs? What about that? Well, you're fortunate enough to have a musician as a pastor, and through the years that we've come here, we see and understand that you got it right. It's vertical. And we don't get on the edge of singing all the crazy stuff that some of the other people call praise. When I say that, I mean embalmed with unbelief and doubt. And, you know, through the years, you would think that we would educate ourselves to the degree that we would sing scriptural things. I want to read something to you. And I want you to identify with it, or at least understand where it's coming from. I wrote this down probably, I don't know how long ago, and rarely did I ever quote it or say it, but of late I've been going to it. Here it is. It says, the spirit of praise is closely associated with the spirit of prayer. Singing is one way of expressing praise. The scriptural content determines whether it qualifies as praise or just another song. Singing, everybody says singing, may be directed as to elements in it that deprive and debauch prayer. It may be so as to drive away everything like thanksgiving and praise. Much singing in church today, everybody say today, is entirely foreign to anything that like hearty, sincere praise unto God. I'll read that last part. Much singing in church today is entirely foreign to anything like hearty, sincere praise unto God. The author, E.M. Bounds, 1781. Not 2018, 1781. It's been happening all those years. Anything offered up to God because it's got a good chord structure. Lines, it's got to rhyme, so let's make it rhyme and put the devil in there somewhere. Amen? Are you listening to me? So what I'm saying to you is that you got it right. Your praise is vertical in song. Somebody shout amen here. Praise, prayer looks back on things, praise looks back on things accomplished by God and rejoices. Praise is always looking back, thanking God for what he's done. Prayer looks forward to things expected through your petitioning, through intercession. So we really have these major categories of prayer. As praise and others. Praying with all prayer, Ephesians 6:18. Always with all prayer. Well, all kinds of prayer. Supplication. Go to Philippians chapter. Thank you, Lord. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. We're all over the map, and I'm loving it. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4. And we'll look at this. Is this included in your prayer? Verse number 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing. But in everything, everybody say everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request or let your request be made known unto God. You don't even have scriptural grounds to ask God for anything without giving praise and prayer and thanksgiving. Everything that you require of God, you lay down the petition on the back burner. And you come to him with thanksgiving, and you come to him with prayer. Praise as thanksgiving, we said this last night, and we'll say it again. Thanksgiving can only be manifested vocally, otherwise it's just gratitude. You're thankful on the inside. It's not that you're not thankful. But being thankful on the inside is not the fullest expression that you need to have. So when you come to that thanksgiving on the inside, or that gratitude on the inside, now it becomes vocalized, it transfers to praise. I think that's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential. Because once God's got your tongue, he's got you. This unruly member called the tongue. If he can rule it and you submit it to him, he's got you. In other words, it's not your money. It's not your pride. It's your tongue. And when you submit that to God, he says, he's fully what we call capitulated. He's fully said yes to me. Or she's fully said yes to me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit overrides pride. The baptism of the Holy Spirit puts you in a position that you don't care about what you look like, sound like, who you are. You have come to a place all of a sudden that you're all in, as it were. How's that happen? Volition. You elect to. You choose to. You make a demand on you, not on God. Can you say amen to that? And by so doing, guess what happens? Your prayer life is elevated. How? Through your praise life. You become more thankful. And when you submit things to God, you go, man, here's an assignment. Go to Psalms 116, not now, on your own. Psalms 116. And you look at this Old Testament model of prayer. You got a man named David who's a king. He opens up with prayer and praise and thanksgiving. He opens up talking about how great you are and worship and magnify. And he lays a petition down. I was near death, he was saying. The gates of hell round got about me. I was going to the grave. All that comes later. He says, here's his prayer. Heal me. Bam, it's done. Not, our Lord, I know I'm in the valley of death, and I know you know I need help right now. Kumbaya, my Lord. None of that. Heal me. Hallelujah. But I've praised you first. I've worshiped you first. I'm thankful first. Every time I go to the Lord and ask anything, what I'm asking is on the back burner. Because I'm going to him right with my arms upraised, my voice out, because I'm giving, I'm alive. Just that, I can tell you, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be alive. Multiple occasions when I was stupid. You always thought I was anointed and appointed. No way. There are things that I don't want to talk to you about. I never will. But I can talk to him about it because he's the one that delivered me. Somebody shout amen. I'm ever grateful. His praise will ever be on my lips. All the time. Why? I can just stop. I can't take 2 steps without giving him glory. Why? If my memory bank kicks in, I'd have an ongoing show about how he's delivered me, healed me, saved me, moved me from one place to another, elevated me, protected me. Whew. He's spoken on a foreign field. You understand? In these countries that you go to, like we go to, it's not that in America. Amen. Things are different. You can app to. We just got a young man, a young missionary from ORU. You just read about that. 2 weeks ago it was, thereabouts. He goes in, he's going to reach these unreached people. Arrow right through the heart the minute he gets off the. What? He wasn't spirit led, I tell you that right now. He might have been, had a great motive, sincere as could be. But like I said, Satan loves sincere sandwiches. He eats them all day long. Your sincerity is not enough. Your motive being pure is not enough. You got to be spirit led to do anything of God. And the high point of being spirit led is praying in the Holy Ghost and giving yourself full of him, because he's going to direct you in ways you can't direct your own prayer. Can you say amen here? Your praise life is the simplest form of prayer. And you can do it without any eloquence. Your gratitude that turns to praise is, thank you. Thank you, Lord. That'll get you over right there. Can you say amen? Are you thankful? Thank. And be ye thankful. It carries everything to the Lord. It makes everything acceptable that's within his will, his promises for you. Always. What am I saying? I'm saying what the word says. Be careful for nothing. But with, in supplication and prayer, with thanksgiving, make your prayer request known unto God. That's not my job, you know, to tell you to do that. He's already told you to do that in the scripture. And by so doing, guess what happens here? We find ourselves, I'll stay here, Lord. We find ourselves, doors that were shut are opened. Doors that were open are closed. Somebody shout amen here. You can't wedge your way through life because you got the right attitude. You got to have the prayer life that'll open things up for you. Well, guess what? If I'm thankful for what he did last year, now my prayers are in expectation of the future. Praise looks back on what he's done. Prayer looks forward as petitions and intercessions as to what he's going to do with great joy. I still rejoice because... What's that song that we did with the battles? It's how I fight my battles. Well, here you go. What tribe is the Lord Jesus from? Yeshua's from what tribe? Just by saying Judah. Judah were the tribe of the praisers. Judah went forth into battle before they got there. Your praise forges the way in the battle. Your praise literally puts the enemy at a disadvantage. Why would they send Judah out? A small tribe. Because all I did was praise. All I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. Somebody shout amen here. Your praise goes forth. Breaks up the fallow ground. Causes your enemy to flee. Why? Because it's not aimed at the enemy. It's aimed at your God. And he knows Satan is acutely aware of our lack of praise. If we go into battle, let's get out of that word in this regard. We can go ill-equipped into any situation. You can take an interview ill-equipped. You can take an exam ill-equipped. It's going to cost you every time. I said it's going to cost you every time. You can go into the courtroom of God. Well, as enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, the psalmist says. Everywhere you go all over the Bible, praise is first. Thanksgiving is first. And by so doing, you now allow the Lord to be who he wants to be in your life. Can you say amen to that? I specifically knew we had to deal with this, not from a preacher's standpoint. You know, you haven't flipped the pew. I haven't run the aisle yet. Amen. I haven't had a Pentecostal fit. Of course, we ain't closed yet. But the bottom line is, this is information we got to have. We just got to have it. I remember, what's his name? That was the parish president before down here. Huh? Nungesser. Remember that day you guys weren't here? Some of you were. We had no idea who that was. He was in the back, and the Spirit of God called him up and ministered to him. I'll never forget what he said. Plaquemine has thus begun to cease to be the stepchild of the United States. Plaquemine Parish will no longer be the stepchild. Well, why would that happen? Well, stuff was being poured into him by pastor. Amen? Who knew the Katrina was coming? That would have to have somebody in authority to be just, are you listening to me? You got to see how significant you are in the kingdom of God. Well, when you do that, God now can use and go throughout the whole earth and find you to pray through. Find you to address the situation. And you're just the most innocuous, little innocent person around. But right through your vessel, you minister to some people. Why? Because you praise him. You open yourself up to him. You allow him to have an access to you for others more than yourself. Somebody say amen. Well, as we close, I want to encourage you. I think we, I'm dull of hearing in some ways, but not in spiritual ways. I think we had elevated praise this morning, just on last night's service. Can you say amen? I know you praise us, but I think we had elevated praise just from last night's service. And we'll have more elevated praise from this time on in our individual lives. Why? Because it's necessary. We have to get it done. Anybody getting any help out of this? All right, as we close, I'm going to do one thing here, and I think we'll just kind of close it out right here. As we use praise as prayer, put it that way, we now are divesting ourselves or getting rid of all that previously inhibited us from praying. Even the prayer petition will have more effect. Intercession will have more effect. Supplication will have more effect. All those other prayers are literally opening up because of your praise life. Your praise life can consistently be your most prolific prayer life. Is that right? And if that's the case, that's exactly what has to happen. If you want God to intervene on your behalf and that of others more, elevate your praise. Let's stand. As we stand, I want you to come, Kim, I want you to come forward.